Now, though, we are looking at one or two legal concerns, particularly when working from home, and if one can still get fired when working from home if you're caught to be drinking on the job. The global pandemic has undoubtedly resulted in a new way of doing things. Working from home for at least part of the work week has become commonplace. But with workers now in the comfort of their own homes, does this give them free rein to consume alcohol and drugs while on the clock? Well, to fill us in on this is Thamsanqua Kwambila. He's an employment practice associate at the firm Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr. Thamsanqua, good evening and thank you so much again for joining us.
Good evening and good evening to you.
Are we allowed to consume alcohol and drugs while on the clock, while working from the comfort of our homes?
No, we are not allowed to. And I think the reason is similar to something that we've seen outside of the COVID space, where employees are being held accountable for their actions, even in spaces where they're not in the premises of the employer. So, for instance, where you're wearing something that reflects Smile FM and you do something that is against the ethos of the company, you may, because you've connected yourself with the employer, be held liable and called to respond to allegations of misconduct. And similarly, in the space where you are in your own house, but on your employer's working time, if you end up consuming alcohol, which you know you're not allowed to do anyway, if you're in the premises of the employer, the employer would similarly be able to institute disciplinary proceedings against yourself.
Should the employee also, just to safeguard this type of behavior, have a policy of sort in place?
Yes, I think, in fact, that would make the life of the employer quite easy, so, and quite simple if it were to, and this is something that we encourage our clients to do as well, is to start implementing in terms of their working from home policies and their policies in relation to the use of substance abuse, in relation to alcohol, to clearly state a zero tolerance policy in relation to that, and to also advise employees who may not be aware that just because you're in the comfort of your home, but between 9 and 5 or 8 and 5, whichever one applies to you, doesn't mean that you can do as you please. If you are intoxicated and I learn that you're intoxicated, I may call you to a disciplinary inquiry.
So the Occupational Health and Safety Act, for example, the general regulations, extends to whether you're working at home or not. It doesn't really matter. You're on the company's time, so to speak.
Yes, yes. So I think where we would first start is the fact that you are on company time, that I'm paying you to be productive, and I'm also paying you to be of sound mind. I know we get into a hole that, yeah, we don't want to get into about whether or not people are productive if they've had one glass or two glasses. But I think the general feeling, and this is what we know to be true about workplace practices when people are reporting to work in their offices, that there's usually a zero tolerance for people consuming alcohol whilst in the work premises. So there's no reason why that would be extended to employees who are working in the comfort of their home.
Thamsanqua, you're also able to just unpack some of the legislation and possibly some of the procedures behind incapacitation versus a misconduct disciplinary action.
Mm-hmm. So the two, there's a simple test that the labor courts have put out, or that is in the labor judgments. Misconduct relates to doing something that you know is wrong, and incapacity relates to wanting to do something but being unable to do so, and not because of a fault of your own. So, for instance, you want to come to work, but you are sick, and that's not as a result of a fault of your own. However, if you are in a company vehicle and you drive in excessive speed, and therefore you're negligent, you know you're not supposed to do that. You know you can control it. However, you decide to go against the rules of the company. So the essence of it can be distinguished in terms of those two questions. Am I able to do this? am I not able to do this? What's the reason for me not to be able to do it? Is it because I, as a result of my own misconduct or conduct or omission, have resulted in a particular outcome? Or is it because I would love to be able to do this, however, I'm unable to do so because of whatever is preventing me at the time? The most obvious example would be sickness. The other example would be I don't want to come to work drunk, however, I'm an alcoholic, and now I've become sick because of this particular disease. The employer must help me. So those would be the two differences and distinctions
between the two. And in that last example there, Tamsanko, what is the responsibility of the employer? Is it to assist the employee in trying to rehabilitate himself or herself?
Yes. So alcoholism is a recognized disease because it's a form of sickness, and an employer may not dismiss you just because you're an alcoholic. Similar to how if you are sick because of something else, say for instance cancer, or because you have another illness that maybe a mental illness that requires you to stay away from work for a particular period of time, there's a requirement even with alcoholism to accommodate the employee.
What then would be, from the employer's point of view, disciplinary action for incapacitation and misconduct in this case?
So what the employer does in an incapacity process is to try and accommodate you, but up to the extent where it is reasonable for both parties. If you get to a point where, despite reasonable accommodation by the employer, there's nothing or there's no level of productivity that they're receiving from the employee, they may then invite you to an incapacity hearing where they will show that they've tried, but despite their trials, they've failed and therefore want to dismiss. It's different, however, with a misconduct case. With a misconduct case, if I can prove that you have committed misconduct that I've alleged that you've committed, so for instance, I say you stole a pen, and I can see that we can prove on video that you've stolen a pen, there's no requirement to accommodate you there. The only thing that we would need to consider is whether or not dismissal is the appropriate sanction for that particular misconduct.
Tamsanko, lastly, where can our listeners find out further information around this?
We publish quite a lot in our alerts, and also our website, Kipnika website, where we share quite a lot about employment law related matters.
Tamsanko Mila, Employment Practice Associates at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr. Appreciate your time. Thank you so much for joining us once again this evening.
Thank you.